Good morning. It is December 14th, 2025, in the year of our Lord, and the title for my message is Faith Behind Prison Bars. My first reading comes from the prophet Isaiah chapter 35, verse 1 through 10. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord and the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come, and he will come with vengeance. With divine retribution, he will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. And a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there. But only the redeemed will walk there, and those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. And my second reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 2 through 11. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" And Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to the sea? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Faith behind prison bars. The term free spirit is a title given to a person who cares little for societal protocol or norms. They come and go as they please and will often make their own path in life. Out of the people mentioned thus far in this season of Advent, this title, quote, free spirit, might very well be applicable to John the Baptist. Some biblical historians and scholars, and then I'm talking really about Josephus, was a first century Jewish historian, surmise that John the Baptist was possibly an Essene. And the Essenes were a small Jewish sect living a communal monastic lifestyle. And they followed strict rules and rituals to maintain. And this was all done voluntarily. They advanced the notion of voluntary poverty and the abstaining from worldly pleasures. If these biblical scholars are correct, for example, such as Josephus, then John the Baptist could very well have been an Essene. Then he had gone into the wilderness to go, or get away, I should say, from everyone, with no interference, and to focus entirely on his worship of God in a pure way that was not polluted by greed and politics, as it was found at that time in the Jerusalem temple. How different life must have looked for John the Baptist behind Herod Antipas's prison bars, because he preached against the incestuous and the evil acts that Herod Antipas had committed during his reign. And for those of you who are historians, Herod Antipas reigned from 4 BC to 39 AD. Let's focus again on John the Baptist. Just think of the emotional swing for John the Baptist from becoming a preaching superstar in the Judean wilderness, drawing in thousands of onlookers from all walks of life, to then being condemned and imprisoned by a reprobate king and his queen, Herodias. Talk about change of circumstances. All of that energy and excitement that was coming to John the Baptist from all these people, believing that he was the awaited Messiah, and that this Messiah would usher in another Davidic dynasty, overthrowing those rotten, no-good Gentile Romans. John's first preaching words were very simple. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. John's mission and ministry was to prepare people for someone else. Someone who was coming after him, and someone who was more powerful than he was. Someone who would baptize the masses with the Holy Spirit and with fire. You know, maybe John the Baptist truly believed that evil and corruption would soon end, much like chaff being burned up with unquenchable fire, and that the Messiah would finally establish not only the Davidic kingdom, but also the kingdom of God on earth. Behind the prison bars where John now brooded and lived, life continued on with the chaff, still very much running the world. Whether it was the Herodian dynasty with its intrigue and murder, or the Roman overlords, evil still reigned in the world, and there he was, in prison, because he dared to preach and teach the Word of God. Every single day, John the Baptist was facing the same four walls, with the same guards nearby, eating the same food. He was imprisoned for speaking the truth. And I often wonder as a human being if John the Baptist ever felt angry or bitter, or maybe exasperated, or maybe terribly disappointed with this turn of events in his life. And what a turn of events for John the Baptist it was, where he was once feared and maybe even admired for his fierce preaching and brutal honesty, to now being relegated to having to secretly pass messages from his disciples to the disciples of Jesus in order to get answers to his questions. When John, let me read again from the Gospel of Matthew, when John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" And that's Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 and 3. I wonder what Jesus thought when he heard those words coming from John the Baptist and his disciples. John knew someone was coming. But now he was questioning whether Jesus was really that someone, or Jesus was just another fly-by-night teacher who could quote the scripture and in the process dashing everyone's hope all over again like so many other would-be prophets and messiahs that have gone before. Jesus tells his listeners that John was a prophet and more than a prophet, and then he quotes from the prophetic book Malachi, chapter 3, verse 1, for our reference. And he finished his quotation from Malachi saying that those born of women, no one has been greater than John the Baptist, which is truly an amazing statement. You know, John the Baptist accepted Jesus as the one who was to come. But he also had questions. Why would the judge of the entire world need to be baptized for the cleansing of sin when he knew no sin? And that's Matthew chapter 3, verse 14. And after John was imprisoned, his disciples asked Jesus' disciples, why didn't Jesus fast, much like the Pharisees do? And his disciples, that's Matthew chapter 9, verse 14. And again, from our main passage in Matthew's Gospel, maybe the most pertinent question to come from John was Jesus truly the Messiah? Or was there going to be someone else? Because from John's vantage point, nothing really has changed. He's still behind prison bars. The chaff is still running the world. And things are running as always. When you have time on your hand and your accompanying thoughts, then those doubts come roaring to life. And they really do matter. They eat away at your conscience and your waking mind. And when we are beginning to weaken and fail, our doubts really begin to matter. And so did the doubts of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a regular human being like you and I, filled with hope and excitement and joy, and also with questions and doubts, and we see that being written before us in Matthew's Gospel. You know, did John know instinctively that he would never again walk as a free man from Herod's prison palace? I don't know. Maybe he did. Could we honestly blame John under these circumstances if he was wondering if he spent his life on the wrong cause for the wrong man? I don't know, maybe he did. That's why he asked Jesus that question. Are you the one to come, or should we look for somebody else? You see, the answer he was desperately waiting for from Jesus truly mattered to him. And for John the Baptist, it truly was life and death. And there's no hyperbole, no exaggeration or embellishment on my part. So, where are your mind and soul this Advent season? As we approach Christmas, how is your mood and attitude? Do you have nagging doubts and questions that are ruining your holiday cheer? Do you have grief and sorrow that is weighing you down, keeping you awake at night? I wonder if we use Christmas and Advent to cover up and mask our problems. If the Messiah has come, why do so many people find themselves in one kind of prison or another that can be literal and metaphorical? Of course, in our country, there are infamous prisons. Rikers, Alcatraz, Leavenworth, Folsom State Prison, Attica, Sing Sing, San Quentin, etc., etc., etc. This is just in the United States of America. You know, John's imprisonment was really political because he was bold and fearless in his preaching. Our problems might seem overly large to others, but to us they seem insurmountable. Maybe we lost our job. And now we have no income, and we are staying awake at night thinking, how am I going to survive and pay the bills? Maybe we have a loved one that was very close to us pass away, and we just feel the aching in our hearts and the loneliness, and we remember the good times we had with that person, and our hearts are just crying. Maybe for some of us, we are dealing with addictions and the grip of sin, whether it's gambling, whether it's drug, whether it's alcohol, whether it's overeating, whether it's pornography, maybe it's stealing. Maybe we have feelings of guilt we just cannot shake free from, and we feel alone and isolated.
believing nobody could possibly understand my situation and my plight. You know, these types of addictions, no matter our best intentions, refuse to let us go from their grip. Our prisons abound, and maybe we too have prisons. Excuse me, maybe we too have questions like John behind prison bars. You know, John had a profound question, and Jesus sent an answer back to John. Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. Jesus came in power, but a different kind of power. He had the power to heal. He had the power to offer grace and mercy in order to forgive sins and to free human beings from the grip of guilt. Jesus came in power, power to restore and to redeem lost humanity, to reconcile and to renew you and I, everyone. You see, Jesus answered the most important question in John the Baptist's life behind those prison bars. He answered that question when John needed to hear it the most. Where are you spiritually this Christmas season? In the end, Jesus' answer to John is also our answer. When we see the power of Christ in healing and the wisdom of God's grace and mercy, we see the true difference coming from a Savior. Not only what he has done in the history of the world, but maybe, just maybe, and probably most importantly, what he has done in your life and mine.